1DWJ Mobile. Anybody around for a little bit of information?
I forget the rest of your call. KD2BNG.
Thanks for returning. Appreciate it. Yeah, I was just looking for the frequency of the Greenville machine, if you have that, and any PL tone. I used to live here, but moved up to New Hampshire, and I'm back for some visits. So I just wanted to plug into that Greenville machine if I could.
Actually, one of the main ones for the Greenville area. This club has another repeater on top of the other mountain. Whichever mountain this one's not on, Caesar's Head or Paris Mountain. And, yeah, let me see if I could, I don't know what other repeater you're looking for.
This is the Greenville machine, that's fine. This Paris Mountain machine?
Both those frequencies, as soon as I got an easy way to pull off the road, I'll pull them up in our repeater book. Just let me get to where I'm not actually blocking the road.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Take it easy there, pulling off. Don't get yourself in trouble. Yeah, I'm driving as well, so I'm slowing down here. Name is Joe, by the way. The name is Joe, and the call again is W1DWJ, Delta Whiskey Juliet.
DWJ. All right, I'll get it eventually. Yeah, Joe, let me see what else. Put the car in park so we don't go sliding off the hill. Let's see. Oh, you know what? These are 70 centimeters. We don't want these. Let's look for 2 meter. Hold on. I'll tell you in a minute.
Great.
Okay, 2 meter. Let's see, Columbia, too far away. Spartanburg, 147315, a tone of 123.
Okay, 147315 with a PL of 123? Yep, 123. Let me just write that down. What's your name, and give me a call again, please.
Glenn, and the call is Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf.
2 Bravo November Golf. Glenn, great. Good to meet you, and thank you very much. I do appreciate the help. Yeah, we lived down here for about 16 years and moved back up to New England not too long ago. That's where I'm originally from. And our pastor asked me to come back and preach a week of meetings for him. So I'm back here in South Carolina, going to be in central South Carolina pretty quick. And so we'll be down here for another week or so, visiting friends and having an opportunity to preach. So thanks a lot, Glenn. I really appreciate your help and you coming back to me. So KD2BNG, I guess you're close to Greenville right now. This W1DWJ also mobile in Greenville.
Clinton right now, but let me try to find you at least one more repeater. Yeah, I came here from the New York City area, I guess almost 10 years ago. Why I did that, and I don't know, but I should have stayed where I was in Long Island.
Really? Why is that? Why is that? I got to hear the story. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I mean, I guess I didn't get along with, with my ex, with her parents. I don't know what the reason was, but, I had a house there, which I owned. I was part owner with her parents, so maybe that was the problem. And the New York City area, there's more to do. The people are different.
climate is different. It's just, I had gotten used to it. And, you know, down here it doesn't seem like there's anything. I would just as soon be back. You know, you drive within an hour of the New York City area, you've got all kinds of, you've got lakes, you've got streams, you've got mountains, you can go upstate, anywhere you want. There's just, I don't know, there's nothing here. And, I haven't really, not too thrilled with the people I met down here, but that's another story.
Okay, Glenn. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'm from the Boston area. I used to be a police officer in Boston for years and got hurt on the job and moved to New Hampshire and lived up there for quite a number of years. And then my first wife passed away, and I met a gal from Colorado, and we got married. And the church that we belonged to up north, there was a similar operation on down here in South Carolina. So, and I came down here to school at Bob Jones University in Greenville, back in the 80s, 82 or so. I think I graduated in 1986, and went back up north and pastored. So, but after that was through, I decided, well, let's go back down south and see if we can find a homestead down there. So we did that for about 16 years. But you're right about there's a whole lot more to do back up north, and that's why we went back. We're back up with our kids up north and built a little place onto their house or right near their home, and so we're back up north, actually, but we still have friends down here, so we come down from time to time. But, you're right about the difference. And there's a difference in climate, a difference in people. There's a whole lot of difference. Sometimes folks down here say, y'all come back, but they don't want you back. And I'm sure you've experienced that. So take care, Glenn. It's been great talking with you, and trust things will work out for you. And thank you for the information about the repeaters. I do appreciate it. And you have a great day, brother. W1DWJ is going to be out of here. 73s.
WJ, KD2BNG. Here's the other one that belongs to this club. This is the one on the other mountain, whichever mountain the other one isn't on. This is on Paris Mountain, 146.82, no tone. But anyway, there's a net here at 9 p.m. if you'd like. We look forward to hearing from you, and you take care, 73s.
Hey, Glenn, what's that frequency again, 146-something?
682 is the other repeater owned by the Blue Ridge Club. It's, I don't know why, it's a seldom used repeater. The one you're on now has many, many times more activity, but that's like the alternate repeater. And of course, the one you're on now, 146.61, and that's about it as far as the most active ones that I can think of.
Okay, Glenn, thank you again for that second frequency. I do appreciate it, and I'll program that into this little rig here. 73s again. Wife just got back in the car, so we're ready to roll down to Central. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate your help. Have a great day. Lord bless, and good luck to you. Take care, brother. W1DWJ's out of here.
Spartanburg repeater, I think, is part of the SC Heart system, so on occasion they're networked all together across the entire state. Anyway, I'll let you go. KD2BNG, I'll be clear.
Okay, 73s, Glenn.
Difference in the people down here, and they are up north, they just got different attitudes. KI4DOS said that.
It is, Gary. They say that northerners are rude, but You know what it is about Southerners that I think sometimes rubs Yankees the wrong way? It's kind of that niceness almost is the problem. That niceness and congeniality and, cordialness and
Hospitality, it's, you know, it's infuriating in a way, because maybe up north we're more honest. You know, we'll tell each other to go, well, word I think can't say on the radio, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything. We, and also the other thing is we don't tend to really talk a whole lot to people we just met. You know, other people down here will tell you their life's 10 minutes waiting on the grocery store line.
Well, I don't know, Glenn. You know, like I used to drive up north and met a lot of nice people up there, really did. You're right about one thing. They're not as friendly. You know, once you get to know them, you know, they get real friendly and they'll tell you anything and everything. But you have to get to know them first. And, you know, they don't cotton to strangers a whole lot in a lot of ways. But they're still good people. Like I said, I've got a lot of friends up there in New Jersey, New York, Long Island, all around through there. But it is a whole lot different down here. We're more laid back, and we don't have to run and go and go see plays and you know, that sort of thing. I mean, they're trying to get Greenville more like some of the larger cities, you know, with some of those things that you can do. But we're more laid back, and I think that's what the biggest difference is.
KI4DOS, KO4NUE. Glenn, you in there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, you know, Al could be a bit of a pain. KI4MLN, you know, he's like me. He's a Yankee from New Jersey, and I guess y'all like him. So it's just a question of, we tend to be abrasive at first, but, you know, don't let that be off-putting.
KO4NUE. So, Glenn, I got a question for you. So I got this right. So the first time I meet you and I extend my hand to shake your hand and I cuss you up and down one side or the other, is that what you prefer?
It wouldn't be atypical. Yeah, put it there, you old, yeah, word I can't say. Yeah, no, because, you know, it's almost a term of endearment. We cuss at you because we like you, because we care. If we didn't like you, we'd annoy you totally.
Well, you know what the word Wilco means?
The acronym is in Will Compliance.
Why? So, when I meet you, I'm going to stick my hand out, and I will comply.
Nothing personal. Now, you see, the way I think different patterns of communication develop is the South was basically always one culture. It was that kind of Scotch-English-Irish culture. So, it's more oriented toward being sociable and being more loquacious and being more talkative. Where, you know, up north, our use of language is more utilitarian because we have people from 50 different countries out here. So it's more terse, it's more results-oriented. It's not a lot of sitting around and shooting the breeze, generally. Well, you know, unless it's with people you know fairly well.
I'm sitting here trying to figure all this out. So when I was growing up, and with the experiences that I have had, when a person over me told me to go and do, I did. And I said, yes, sir, two bags full. So I want to get clarification here. So when we do meet, I know exactly which road to go here. So you're saying that people from up north don't do that, or they do that?
Our
personal interactions are tend to be very terse and very focused and very short until we know you better. So we don't, you know, we don't really feel obliged to be that talkative. And as I say, I think that's because the North is a culture of immigrants who didn't really have a common language. So their exposure to English was, you know, just the basics. So we don't tend to spend a long time greeting each other or asking, you know, every 5 minutes sit down here, someone, nice day, how you doing? How's things going? Yeah, okay, right. We tend to be more terse, more perfunctory, and sometimes what may even be perceived as rude. Yeah, hey, what do you want? Yeah, what do you? I'm busy. What do you want? You know, like that. It's not insulting, or it's not meant to be. In fact, sometimes, you know, it can even be regarded as endearing. Hey there, you old bleepity bleep. How's it going?
Okay, so I'm pretty clear now. So when we meet and there's about 15 expletives come out of my mouth, and then I turn around and walk off, that's a term of endearment for you. Is that what? I just want to make sure I got a clear understanding of how I can make you feel welcome.
Hi, and sit down. Hello, sit down and shut up. No, the stream of expletives is unnecessary. Actually, it takes practice, you know. They have to be properly used. There's a way to weaving expletives into your normal everyday speech. Maybe it's a Midwestern or a Northern thing. But we'll practice that element of Yankee language skills. That's a more advanced course.
I want to make sure I'm clear, because my dad taught me pretty well, and military taught me pretty well. So I just want to make sure that you feel welcome here in the South. So when we meet, you trust me, you'll be very welcomed. So this is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. I'll be clear. You have a great day, Glenn. 7-3 to you, sir.
Or something Uniform Echo. All right, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, well, you know, the military, I guess, enforces a certain level of politeness. You know, mouth off to a superior officer, and there's Article 32 in your future somewhere. But, all right, we'll talk at you later, 73s.
EY Mobile.
You're not even making it to the repeater, so I'm not hearing anything other than you click in and out.
I'll check the antenna. Thanks for that. And I guess I'll let you go. I'll try to talk later.
You're now.
Might have been a question of going over that last hill. This antenna got whacked a bit by a low tree branch. I'll go out and try to see if it's screwed in. Now I'm just passing through Gray Court. In fact, let's get out of here and go to Gray Court, because I live in Gray Court.
About to head towards Malden.
I used to go to Malden quite a bit. All right, so I know where you are, and I'm just getting back. I was just getting back from Clinton, which is probably why I was in the radio no zone, because there's a bad area there.
I think has been spotty for me. I haven't talked on the radio much coming from that direction, but I do believe you are correct.
This repeater occasionally has some minor problems. I think because when the wind stirs up, the feed line starts banging against something, and, you know, it changes the impedance. The feed line is too long, or it starts whipping against the tower.
If I have a call coming in real quick, let me hop off for 1 second. KI4DTY.
W4DJW. Hey, I just, you know, those two flight controllers I told you about that I bought before they went up in price about 6 years ago. I just got one of them working. It pays to continue to piddle around with them until you get them working.
Now, is that for the quad?
It's a Pixhawk. It can go on anything. It can go on a boat, an airplane, a car, a multi-rotor. It's a flight controller. You can put it on anything you want to put it on.
I was just simply asking, are you going to try to use it on a quad?
So I had, you know, I bought a couple of them. We were working with 8-bit controllers out there at Campobello, and I bought a couple of 32-bits because these weren't working. And so I put one in each quad. Remember, one of them was white, one of them was black, the quads, and the hex was black. Well, the one that we're flying now is the one that was white. The one that I'm going to build next is the one that was black. And that's got two flight controllers that I got to replace the two that I bought a long time ago that weren't working. But I just figured out one of the accelerometers in one of the two was stuck. We've got three, and all you need is one. So I just turned one off. So I'll fly off two instead of three. It's triple redundancy. You don't ever really go that far needing it. So I just turned it off. So this one will probably, I've got to figure out, one of them will be for the strike airplane, and the other one will be for the repeater in the sky. That's a that's that big airplane, that really big senior telemaster.
About that now. Okay, that's good. Now, the strike, is that the one that you had for 3D?
That's the flying wing that is no landing gear on it. But it's got an elevator and two. It's not like Ella Vaughn's. It's not like that Force One mid-engine Delta Pusher or mid-motor. Now that I took the engine off and put a motor on it, so it's not like the mid-motor Delta Pusher that only has flaperons. This one has an aileron and an elevator and two ailerons and no rudders. But it would be really good for high-speed cross-country with a flight controller in it, because it'll do about 140 miles an hour.
Sounds good. Now, that's not the one with the goose grease on it, is it?
No, that was the Force One Delta Pusher, mid-engine Force One Delta Pusher, the red, white, and blue one. Yeah, that one would do, but it's got no glide. I don't know if you've noticed, but I can come in, you know, really high throttle, and when I hit the edge of the runway, I can chop the throttle, and it'll drop like a rock right down onto the runway, and then flare at the last. It doesn't have a good glide slope at all. It glides like a rock.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yep. Okay. Well, guess what I fell victim to today?
What's that? You're getting the bug for the motorcycle again?
Bug, and I found out I got to replace the battery. Oh, side subject. I found a battery, a good AGM, at a place on Highway 14. It's that new place I was telling you about that I was going to check out. Hey, they've quoted me a good top-end AGM battery for my Harley at $85. Is that not good?
That's what I would have expected, but it's been 4 or 5 years since I replaced mine, so I wasn't going to have to do it. I didn't have any idea they'd gone up that much, though. But, yeah, let me know how that works out for you, and I might make a trip over there and get one myself.
Okay. Now, the last battery I bought for that Harley was about, it might have been just 3 years ago, but it was 110. And that was from those folks over on Furman Hall Road. So, you know, that's why I kind of started looking around. So I'm hoping that this is going to work out real good. Back to the original question. I fell victim to the hobby connection today.
Oh, was David out there? Did you say hi to him?
Yeah, but I got out there and they've got some flight test stuff out there.
Oh, did you get some more flight test gear?
Remember how I really liked that old World War One plane that was just kind of floating along out there that day?
The one with the really big wheels, like a triplane. Is it a biplane or a triplane?
Similar to a Jenny.
A sop with pup, is that it?
You got it, boss. Well, they had a flight test biplane out there, and it's not a very short tail moment, so it should fly moderately gently, and I fought it.
So did you get a couple of those receivers when you ordered that 6-channel?
Should have ordered more, because I sat down last night and I was kind of looking at my inventory, and you know I've got that old Cadet on that old 72 megahertz Futaba. Well, I was actually thinking about moving it up to a 900 megahertz, and or rather 2.4 gigahertz, and now I got somewhere to go with that receiver.
If you do that, I think that would be a most excellent idea. If you do that, then you can put those mixers on there like I was showing you with that Tiger Stick, where the ailerons can both go up and they can both go down. So you can make them speed brakes, or you can make them flaperons, flaps and ailerons, but all in one. And I've got the programming to show you how to do that. I did that on my DX9 or 9DX, whatever that is. The same radio as yours, except the older version.
Easy, Obi-Wan. I'm still going to figure out regular normal flaps. Now, I know
exactly what you're talking about, and that would really be an interesting concept to have some up aileron on both sides to, well, no, actually, probably down aileron on both sides to act as flaperons. That would really stop that business of that thing floating forever, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what the speed brakes do, too. So the flaps are for when you're coming, so you're coming, like, straight down at a really steep angle, not 90 degrees, but about 70 degrees down, and you're right over yourself at the runway. And then you just pull up elevator, and it just changes the angle of attack drastically, and you roll a couple of feet and touch the wheels on the ground. The speed brakes are for when you're out far, and you're coming across with throttle on, you've got a good head of steam up, and you want to land anyway. Then you pull the throttle all the way back, and the speed brakes pop up, and the elevator pops down, and it bleeds off all like speed, like you hit, like somebody opened an umbrella backwards, like a drag parachute. It just stops everything.
Okay, and 4VWA. Yeah, I know the concept, but see, with me, I'm going to deploy the parachute, and it's just going to drop like a rock. Now, that's what I've got to start getting used to as far as, you know, using the flaps. And even with that little turbo timber, I don't have but about 30% of the flap on. And, I mean, that thing pitches up like you would not believe. So, anyhow, I've got to kind of get used to that and not stalling it. You know, trying to keep a little airspeed up and not stalling it as I try to come in. So, anyhow, that's a new concept I got to get a hold of before I can go to the flaperons. So, but it'll be fun. And I'm going to try to get this little biplane going, see what I can do.
So is it about the same size as the one that we saw out there? Is it going to take a significantly larger electric motor and a significantly larger battery and a significantly larger prop? Are you getting into the big stuff now?
The specs, he said the specs called for a 2212-2200. That's right. A 2212-2200, I think he said. And, you know, I was basically trying to compare it to the 2218-1150 that I've got. And if I do that with a 3S battery, oh, and the recommendation was a 800 to 1,000 milliampere hour battery. So if I throw a 1300 3S on that motor, it's just going to spin the prop a little slower, and the plane should fly a little slower, which in actuality, for me, probably would be a pretty good thing.
So that's that 2212, that's the same as the multirotors. That's the motors on the multirotor, the TBS Go Discover. The same thing as that one, except they're 980 kV instead of, what did you say, 1,000 kV?
Now, see, that's what I don't understand. He was telling me 2,200.
Yeah, I don't think so. 2,200 is like a racing plane. That's like a 150-mile-an-hour racing plane. 2,200 is enormous. That's revolution, unless you have a prop with no pitch, you know, like a 10-2, a 2-inch pitch. Pitch is usually around 4 to 6 to 8 or something like that.
Well, that's why I figured that my little 2218-1150 swinging a 10-6 would be just fine.
Yeah, I think that would be too. It depends on, and what's the wingspan? Do you remember?
It might be 18 inches. Well, between 18 and 24 inches.
Okay, that's going to be small then. That's not really, really big. And that's why it's got a 2212. That's why a 2212 will pull it, because that's a relatively small wingspan.
Yeah. And it's the same concept. It's the foam board.
As the what?
You know, the foam board that we, you know, build the Blood
What size motors are those? I can't remember. What did we put on those?
Well, I think you put a 22-18-980, and I put on a 22-18-1150.
Okay. And then I think later I went to a 1500, and it got really, really hot.
Remember that? Yes, sir. That's exactly what happened. I do remember that. Yeah. So, anyhow, I'm going to run that 2218-1180, and I'm going to run a 20-amp ESC and a 10-6, and that should do the trick, I think.
Okay. Well, I didn't know you were going out to see David today. Is everybody doing okay over there? They're still open? They're still running normal?
Well, I think they're doing a pretty strong, brisk business for products that they can get. Now, they got resupplied back in June on all their model stuff. And, you know, on the paints and the little thises and thats and all that kind of good stuff. And when I went in there today, they had really resupplied on the E-Flight. So, apparently they're doing pretty good and they're moving product.
Well, that's good to know that they're doing good. You want somebody like that to stay in business as much as possible in case you need something in a hurry.
Or when you run across something that you go, oh, my God, I'm going to have to buy that. Good grief.
Okay, well, I'm going to get back over here and test this other flight controller and make sure it's still working. I just got like two new flight controllers. If this theory on the IMU works out and... You going to get your motorcycle battery now?
I'm headed back to the house to pull the battery out of the Heritage, and then probably take it with me so I don't get a core charge. And I'm going to head on over there and make sure everything matches up just exactly right. And if it does, hey, you want me to go ahead and ask them about your scooter? What year is it?
I don't know. I'd have to go look it up. No, I want to see how that does first. I think mine is a... I'm pulling up the registration card on it now. That's the car. There it is. It's a 2009.
Okay. Well, same as mine. All right. Looks like we both got that bug in 2009. But I got to get mine out and get it running. I mean, I don't have to get it running. I just need to get that battery on it. And I got to get it out and stretch its legs a little bit.
Yeah, I need to do the same thing. I told Amy I need to do that. And she said, no, just sell it. She said, just put it on Facebook Marketplace and sell it. Just get rid of it. It was her idea to buy it in the first place.
Yeah, but that was... What is that, 12 years ago? We're both getting a little longer in the tooth now, Bubba.
That's true. And, yeah, I probably should. That'd make a good pot of airplane trawl money if I sold it.
Well, the long and the short of it, I am now 66. As of Sunday, I am 66 years old. And I'm going to try to enjoy that thing for one or two more seasons, you know, provided my health holds out. I'm going to try to run one or two more seasons, and depending on what my son does, he's wanting to get into them. I'm trying to discourage him, but, you know, hey, he may wind up with it, or I'll just simply sell it, more than likely sell it, so... All right, well, I've pulled into the hacienda. I got to grab a battery. You got to get back to work. And I may bump you a little bit later and let you know what they said as far as the cost.
Okay, sounds like a plan. I'm uploading firmware now to this new flight controller. And I think I'm going to put it in the Tiger Stick just to see, just to get used to airplane mode before I stick it in something new, just to figure it out. So you might see me out there with the Tiger Stick and loiter. It'll be up there just flying by itself in circles. Anyway, good Good talk to you. Be safe out there. Cam 4 VWA, W4DJ, W clear.
WA, so don't let your feed line dangle. Later, guy. Bye. I'm clear.
All clear. Partly cloudy at best. KI4DOS mobile.
One of us never, ever claimed to be exactly right.
That's correct. We're a little off center.
About a half a brick short of a cube.
I don't go all the way to the top either. Y'all talking about riding motorcycles and getting ready to give it up. My brother-in-law is 81, and he still got his, and his wife got hers, and they go riding all the time.
He probably has the self-control to not twist the handlebar on the right-hand side. I lack that self-control.
Here, listen. My bike has never cracked a dollar bill. It's gotten right up in against it, but it's never cracked a dollar bill. But getting to that is so much fun.
Well, Gene gets out there and he twists his pretty hard. I don't know how fast he rides, but he's got one of them big old large ones that got all the bells and whistles on it and all that. He sits back in comfort. He doesn't have to worry about too much other than something with some cheap metal around it running into him. I'll get that out in a minute.
Question before I go. On average, how many miles do you get out of a rear tire?
I don't know, not that many, but they're not made to go long distance. Mine aren't. Mine aren't made to go long distance at all. Not that many, just a few thousand. Maybe 9,000 at most, 10, if I'm really, really easy on it.
I'm not averaging but about 5,000 or 6,000 miles on a rear tire. Okay. All right, you guys, have fun. I'm going to get in here and get busy. Gary, have a good afternoon, big guy. Jump in there anytime. K and 4 VWA, y'all carry on. Clear.
Okay, get your battery installed in that thing and check the oil before you take off in it. Don't want to blow nothing up. Y'all have a good day and be careful out there on the two-wheelers. Go ahead there, Dave, KI4DOS mobile.
I'm heads down over here programming flight controllers, Gary, so I'm going to get back at it, but you be careful. If you're out there on the mobile, be careful. Tell Joy hello. Hope you guys are doing good.
In there, Dave, and I will tell her when I get back home. I'm out running errands. I had to go to the dump and went by Be Well Honey, pick up a jar of honey, and now I'm going to another stop over here at Lowe's. I got to pick up a couple, three items in there, and then one more stop to pick up some drugs, and then I'll be headed to the house again. But you and Amy have a good day. Don't break none of them controllers now. They get expensive.
I thought you had bees. I thought you made your own honey.
But robber bees got my bees again, and I didn't get any this past spring, so I'm having to purchase it.
Oh, well, I hate that for you. Anyway, I know that's a lot of fun. I got to do that too one day. Just so many things to do. So little time to do it. All right, Gary, be careful out there. Good talking to you. KI4DOS, W4DJ, W clear.
Good timing. I've just arrived here, and I'm going to jump out and run in, see if I can't spend a little bit more money, and then I'll be back out here again mobile. Y'all take care. Have a great day. Stay well and stay safe. We'll talk at you in a little bit. KI4DOS, mobile clear.